It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. We're going to report this morning on the place where the nation's two wars meet. A new commander in Afghanistan is working to adapt ideas that seem to work in Iraq. U.S. troops have been moving out of Iraq. They've been flowing into Afghanistan. And many of the officers who shaped the strategy for one war have moved on to the next. But you can only take the similarities so far. Here's NPR national security correspondent Rachel Martin.
Comparisons between the two wars begin with the language used to describe them, and the word surge is used a lot. President Obama himself did so in his address to the nation this week.
As with the surge in Iraq, these forces will be in place for a limited time to provide space for the Afghans to build their capacity and secure their own future.
If it works, it's going to be very different. And for that reason, I tend not to use the word surge in Afghanistan.
Stephen Biddle is a defense analyst who's advised the U.S. military on Afghanistan.
Because people assume that if the word's the same, the logic is the same, and it's going to work the same. And I don't think any of those things are very likely.
The surge, President George W. Bush's decision to deploy an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Iraq, is often credited for the turnaround there. But Biddle says that was only one piece of the puzzle. He says it was really the Sunni awakening that tipped the scales, when Sunni leaders stopped fighting the Americans and joined with them against al-Qaeda.
The awakening without the surge would have died under al-Qaeda counterattack. The surge without the awakening wouldn't have been nearly large enough to suffocate an insurgency the size of Iraq's. It was the two coming together that made the difference.
But Leslie Gelb, President Emeritus of the Council of Foreign Relations, says a similar awakening in Afghanistan isn't in the cards.
We're not going to be able to turn to the Taliban and say, hey, now will you be on our side? There's no natural ally in Afghanistan the way the Sunnis were. An actual ally in Iraq.
The wars also invite comparison because of who's in charge in Afghanistan. General David Petraeus, the primary architect of the strategy in Iraq. He's asked many of his advisors from that war to help him in Afghanistan. One of his first moves, pushing for the creation of Afghan-run village security forces, a program that echoes elements of the Sunni awakening in Iraq, getting locals to take control of their own security at the grassroots level. Stephen Biddle says the experience of Petraeus and his team will shape the questions they ask, but not necessarily the answers they reach.
What about local security militias? Can we make that work here? What about negotiating with faction leaders on the other side? That worked pretty well in Iraq. Can we make that work here?
Analysts point to one big similarity between the wars. Both are counterinsurgencies, which demand support from the local population. U.S. forces learned how to do this in Iraq, sipping thousands of cups of tea while talking with local Iraqi leaders. But Stephen Biddle says the big lesson from both wars is that local support for an American agenda can't be taken for granted.
The local government is not necessarily a closet Thomas Jefferson yearning to break free, if only it can get better skills with spreadsheets and some more money for doing trash cleanup.
What worked in Iraq may not apply in Afghanistan. Still, Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution says General Petraeus and his team are better off having had to tackle something similar in Iraq.
They're not trying to overlearn the lesson of Iraq, but it has to be giving them a certain kind of confidence that this is at least potentially doable.
Doable is one thing, winnable is another. And in what the president this week called an age without surrender ceremonies, the biggest similarity between the two wars may be in the unceremonious way that they end. Rachel Martin, NPR News, Washington.